I hear often misquoted one of the verses of scriptures we heard today in the gospel, where people say, this is how they misquote it, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. This is a distortion of the gospel that presumes that the things that you love are also the things into which you invest your time, talent, and treasure. Wouldn't it be wonderfully simple if this is what Jesus said? But this is what Jesus actually said in the Gospel of Luke. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus knew the gripping power of what we treasure. Our assets, our wealth, our relationships, our careers, our hobbies, even what people think about us. And he imagined for us a God-bent prioritization of these treasures, that we might come closer to heaven. Episcopal priest Suzanne Guthrie writes about the unfailing treasure of the kingdom. She writes, "The unfailing treasure is eternal and found in the present moment. But because of the layers of misplaced values accumulated through life, finding the treasure may require a kind of quest." There's a story a friend reminded me of this week that helps us to embark on the treasure hunt that leads us to the beloved reality of the community of God. This is how it goes. So it's a story about a man, we'll call him George, who received a vision of the afterlife, the life beyond. And he entered the beyond and was greeted by a guide who took him down a long hallway filled with fluorescent, sterile lights and industrial-strength vinyl flooring. And as they approached the door on the right, right side of the hallway, the guide told George he would see hell on the other side of the door. So George nervously opened the door, expecting a blast of heat from roaring fires of torment. However, what hit him instead was the mouth-watering aroma of a hearty beef bourguignon. The stew of stews. It was the best stew George had ever smelled. He was thoroughly confused about how this could be hell. So stepping through the door, he saw a big round table with a large pot of stew in the middle. And around the table, people were strapped to their chairs. They were completely emaciated and gaunt, seemingly on the verge of starvation and drained of all life and all hope. So even more confused now how these people could be starving when they're so close to such a wonderful stew, George looked closer. Not only were they strapped to their chairs, but one arm was strapped down as well, and their free hand was strapped to a long spoon. It was long enough indeed to reach the pot of stew, but too long for them to turn the spoon back to feed themselves. He was horrified at the thought of these people being so close to the food they needed, yet unable to eat it, and George backed out of the room knowing he would never unsee this horrible vision. So then the guide leads George down the hall again. They'd not progressed very far until they came to a door on the left. The guide told George he was about to see heaven. After the vision of hell, George didn't know quite what to expect. But when he opened the door, he was once again hit by the hearty aroma of beef bourguignon. From the first room, the same aroma. So he was intrigued, and he stepped in, and he saw a very similar vision. There again was the big round table, the pot of stew in the middle. Again, the people around the table were strapped to chairs, and really long spoons were attached to their arms. Yet this time, they were all well-fed, jovial, full of life. And George stepped back out into the hallway. He was thoroughly confused, and so he asked the guide why the folks in heaven were in heaven and why the folks in hell were in hell. And the guide said, well, the spoons were too long to turn back and feed themselves, but they'll easily reach out to feed your neighbors. The folks in heaven have learned to feed each other. Here's the truth of today's gospel. The treasure lies within ourselves. The treasure lies among one another as we reach out and serve. God is at work with us and will lead us to this heavenly world. And where is this world? Throughout Scripture, God's heart is with the Anawim. This is a Hebrew word from the Old Testament which describes the poor ones, ones who remain faithful to God in a time of difficulty. The poor, the widows, the orphans, the disenfranchised, the marginalized, the sick, the stranger, the maimed. Jesus embraced these as bearers of the kingdom. And the church's treasure, according to Hebrew tradition, according to the Gospel of Luke, is most evidently found among the Anawim, the poor. Well, if you're reading the Gospels, all of Scripture really closely, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stunning reality is that we are all poor, whether materially, spiritually, or both. So if we're being honest, we're all together in this poverty. Some of us may have to change our idea of treasure. Carlo Carletto discovered early in life that, quote, if I want to be happy on earth, I must fall madly in love with God and the things of God, end quote. And the New Layman's Bible commentary sums up the message of this passage in a very concise way. If we know we have treasure in heaven, the necessity to hoard earthly treasure disappears. And so the good news is that the treasure is always there. It's ever present within and around. And the treasure is not our stuff or our awards or our name recognition or our bank accounts. The treasure emerges from the places where we most struggle. As the Apostle Paul writes, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The enduring treasure that remains underneath, beyond the trash heap of worn out purses and rusting gold, is love. As French Jesuit priest, mystic, and scientist Pierre de Chardin once wrote, if humanity ever captures the energy of love, it will be the second time in history that we have discovered fire. My longtime colleague, the Reverend Dr. Jason Emerson, and his being inspired by presiding Bishop Michael Curry, convicted me this week. Jason's preaching this morning, and I'll share with you because I just had to. Learning to feed each other, learning to care for each other, learning to live not just for ourselves, but for the sake of all human flourishing is learning to capture the energy of love. When Jesus teaches his disciples in the gospel passages today to make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, he's calling for us to learn to feed each other. When he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, he's exhorting us to care for each other. When he says, be dressed for action and keep your lamps lit, he implores us to harness the energy of love and make this old, tired world new again. To paraphrase presiding Bishop Curry, when we learn to feed each other, no child will go to bed hungry. When we learn to care for one another, we will make justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When we learn to live not just for ourselves, but for all human flourishing, poverty will be history, and earth will be a sanctuary. When we harness the energy of love, we will lay down our swords and shields, down by the riverside to study war no more. When we store up treasures in heaven, We will live in a new heaven and new earth. We will make this tired new world new again. So this week, and for the rest of our lives, we're called to be on a treasure hunt, where the greatest treasure is love. Amen. Amen.